Joining us in person or online, it's good to have you with us. My name is Rolando. We're going to get ready to start service. So if you're in the narthex, come on in. We're going to worship. If you're in here, please stand. We're going to pray first. All the words for the songs are going to be on the screen behind me. Yeah, I'm cold in here this morning. Is anyone else cold? No, it's just me. I figured it was probably just me. All right, let's pray. Welcome the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for another day. We thank you for the breath that you put in our lungs this morning. We thank you for waking us up. Thank you for the roof over our heads. Thank you for supplying every single need and more to each and every one of us. We're so blessed. Beyond belief, God, beyond belief, we are blessed. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to bear our sins, to bear our transgressions, to die on our behalf, in our place. And thank you for raising him from the dead, giving us that same hope that when we die, we will rise from the dead if we truly are in Christ Jesus, if we continue in this faith, if we're not discouraged. Thank you for giving us a hope that this world does not know, that this world cannot have. Thank you for giving us of your Holy Spirit that this world will never receive. Thank you that you give us your Spirit, which is a guarantee of the inheritance we will have as your sons and as your daughters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you so much, God, and we thank you. You deserve all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. You are the great God, the almighty King of kings and Lord of lords. There's none like you, none to be compared to you. You and you alone deserve the glory and the praise. We ask, God, this morning that you'd be among us powerfully, that your word would be received with grace and with meekness so that our souls would be saved. And we ask, God, that you would just be pleased with our worship. We pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
You were not afraid to tear a string out. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, cause you set me free. I'm dead.
For I am yours, and you are.
as we're worshiping, I'm just thinking about if God is real, truly, God truly is real, he truly sent his son Jesus, then he went to go prepare a place for us. There's heaven to look forward to. There's the kingdom of God to look forward to. There's a place where there will be no sorrow, no tears, no evil, no wickedness. A place for us where things are holy, perfect, and pure. Where the angels cry out day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is to come. They don't get tired of worshiping God with that one song. If he's that mighty, that powerful, if he's that great, shouldn't our eyes reflect that a little bit? Shouldn't we be a little excited about the God we serve? Shouldn't we be in complete awe and reverence that the Almighty God who spoke all things into creation would have a personal relationship with you? With you? With me? That should utterly blow our minds. Really think about that. Really think about that. He's holy, yet sent his son to die for you, to be intimate with you. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Righteous King, Father, and Friend, we ask that you would bring a deeper revelation and a deeper knowledge of who you are. And that as we learn more and more of who you are, it would push us to walk in your ways. It would push us to be like you. And it would push us to desire above all else to honor you and please you in everything we do. And we ask, God, that you would give each and every one of us, every single person here right now, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would show exactly what it is you'd have them to do, exactly what their role is in your body, exactly what their gifting is in your body, whatever part of the ministry that they are blessed in, God, that you have gifted them to thrive in. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would reveal it. Give these people visions. Give these people dreams. Pour your spirit out upon us, God, so that we would walk in the God-designed role that you have given us, and that we would do it without fear but in boldness, knowing that the God of the universe is in us, is behind us, and all around us. Give us the confidence and the hope that only comes from heaven. May your will be done. May your kingdom come. As it is in heaven, here on earth, God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. Welcome. Welcome to Seaport. I love worshiping with all of you guys and praying with you guys. If you're here with us online or if you're here with us in person, it's so good to have you here. Truly, it's an honor. It's a blessing. And we just thank you for being here. We do a little thing, clapping for our visitors, for our guests. So if you're here, we honor you and we thank you for being here. My name is Rolando. But other than just honoring you with a round of applause, we want to connect with you as a church and just get you plugged in. So you can do that by texting welcome to the number on the screen behind me, and it will bring you to a landing page. You get connected through that. You can also get connected through social media. There's Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and then the Seaport email should be up behind me as well. You can email the church. And then the last thing is get the Church Center app. Download our app. It's very, very useful. And you can do that by hitting the QR code at the seat back that's in front of you. Without further ado, here is Jessica.
Good morning, church. Hope everyone is well. I'm here to share some opportunities that we have. First up on the roster, we have a luau for Jen now. So If anyone's wondering what Gen Now is, it's just a really cool term for us middle-aged ones. So age 30 to 49, we have a pretty awesome luau coming up. I think we're running out on time to register, though, and we want to make sure we're planned well for you on Friday. So make sure you open that app. I was guilty. I had not registered. So I did this morning, and we have, I think, like over like 12 people right now. So it's going to be fun. Be there. Also, August 14th, you can register to get water baptized if you have not yet done that. Make sure that we have several opportunities, but it's always nice to do it when it's warm and summer. I think it's a preference of mine as well. And then we have newcomers reception is August 14th. No need to register for that. So if you are new, if you visited just maybe first, second, third, maybe it's sixth time, but you have questions that are unanswered, we meet right in the fireplace room on August 14th. And then we also have September 12th onward, we have a new women's book study. Everybody always. So it's going to be online and in person. So that will be very exciting for the women. Also for the women, October 7th through 9th is the women's encounter. If you have not marked your calendar, do so. It's one of those things that if you miss it, you're like, oh, I'll just do it next time. You'll have to wait like a whole year, sometimes more. So make sure that you do that. And then we also have Rangers Impact. We have important dates coming up. I'm not going to list them all. They're behind my head. But I know that they require registrations. We have our fall session starting, so you want to make sure that you get your children registered for those, get them their vests and their workbooks and all of that. And lastly, we have Wednesday, Adam will be teaching on assurance and backsliding. So right now, we're going to take a moment to look at the screen behind me and hear from Pastor Brad.
Hi, everyone. Obviously, I'm not with you, but I wanted to at least say good morning and hello and thank some people. You know, last Sunday was one of our largest Sunday morning attendances in a lot of years. That was so awesome. And the fun day, Jerry, you did a great job with that. Thank you. And your team, amazing. It was just a great day in every way. And then, you know, Friday night at the movie night, Chris, you and your team, 100 people come out to the movie night. That was another win. Thank you for all the hard work that went into pulling that thing off. And then, I mean, the very next day, yesterday, Matt put together the work day, and the place looks so much better. Thank you so very, very much. It's been a great week at Seaport Community Church. But now I have a little bit of a surprise for you, so stay tuned and listen to this. Hello, Seaport. I've got somebody that many of you still remember. This is his very special day. Many of you remember Nathan Toffee, very good friend, Quinn. Most of you remember that he got married today. He found this lovely Swedish gal by the name of Rebecca, and they just were married just a few moments ago. And so I want to give them congratulations. And they're not going to be able to hear you cheer, but we're cheering for you guys out there in Groton, Connecticut. So, okay, give it up for them right now, all right? All right. Thanks so much. See you guys really soon.
So cool. All right, we're going to enter into our worship by giving. You know, one of the things I so appreciate about the Bible is that God has given us so much practical wisdom in the pages of the book, right? So some of what is contained in it is just so true, so helpful, all of it, right? Not some of it. And anyone will benefit from reading it and making decisions based on it. So Proverbs 22:7 is one of those verses. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Too many of us know that this is true because we've dealt with the restrictions that debt puts on us. Some of us, or some of you may feel the pinch now, too much debt, sometimes for things that we don't even need, limit our options. We can't save for emergencies because we're spending too much to maintain what we've already owe, so any financial speed bump is a potential showstopper. We can't pay off our mortgages faster because we're burdened by consumer debt. We can't save up for major purchases because we're still paying for the last ones. This creates a vicious cycle of us going further into debt. King Solomon was so right when he wrote, "The borrower is slave to the lender." Now, my testimony and Seth's is we can't necessarily resonate with the commercial or consumer debt, but we can resonate with debt. We have several businesses, a couple homes, and so I wanted to share a quick testimony that last June we had $873,000 in debt. Yeah, it was heavy. It still is a little heavy because it's still up there, but with business stuff, you know, it's just kind of, it happened. And the crazier thing is in spring, the Lord told me, "I want you to increase your giving by 1% every month until I say stop." So Seth and I were like, "Oh, okay, we'll do it." And we did. And we increased, and the next month came, and we increased, and the next month came. And we did this for 8 months before the Lord was like, "Okay, this is where you're at." Okay, so I'm gonna let that be like a little cliffhanger for a second there, right? So the good news is God always gives us a way out of tough spots, right? So he does more than identify the problem. He always provides a solution. Developing the discipline of giving, believe it or not, is one of the keys to financial freedom. Right? Do we agree with that? When we give, God gets involved in our finances. When we develop the habit of giving our first and best, he empowers us to learn how to be wise managers of the rest. And as we give, our perspective about finances also shifts. We begin to see money the way that God does. We learn how to trust him, not just with what we give, but the whole of what we have. So today, August 2022, 1 year and 2 months later, I am very excited to announce that our debt went from $873,000, half of which was personal, to $553,000 in debt. And all we have in personal debt is our mortgage. It can't be explained more than this, right? That is the only answer for that. Because how can you increase giving and then have that much debt go away? It doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. So today, I want to pray for all of us who would like to take a step towards financial freedom, okay? So just bow our heads and pray with me. Father, whatever our income, we know that it is you who provide it for us. And as we give today, we do so as an act of faith. For some of us, this gift doesn't make any earthly sense, but we're not after earthly sense. We need your supernatural involvement in our finances. So teach us your ways, Lord. Help us get out of debt and move towards financial freedom one step at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you do not know how to give, there are many options. We have a kiosk out in the back. We have our app that you can go through, or you can do text to give right behind us. And at this time, is the youth in or out? They're out. Bye-bye, youth.
Thanks, Jess. Good morning, Seaport. How's everybody doing this morning? That's it? That's all? Anyway, have you ever noticed that when you ask people for help, they kind of titrate the amount of help that they give you based on what they think that it is that you need? You know, everyone seems to say, hey, if you need some help, just call me, right? Just call me. And then, you know, kidding, when it gets real, crickets, right? You really find out who your friends are. You start calling people like, "Oh, sorry, I'm really busy right now," right? So what happens? Do we just get so easily distracted? Are we just kind of like squirrel and kind of over here and we just forget? You know, or do we not care? Are we just not paying attention? Or is it that we're just kind of informationally overloaded so that we miss things, that we miss these opportunities to shed light because we're going on from one thing to the next, and to the next. You know, how often is it that we're watching TV or that we're, you know, scrolling through whatever, you know, social media site that you might on that you see, you know, like a child that had gotten whipped for 3+ hours just because they wet their bed. And then later we find out that, you know, they were found buried in a tiny creek with a tiny cross clutched within their hands. You know, we see this, we get that pit in our stomach, right? It makes us feel sick. But then all of a sudden we're like on to the next thing, right? The next short, the next reel, the next thing pops up. We get some financial advice from Jim Cramer. He tells us the bottom of the market is here, right? The newest Hollywood trend pops up, or the latest Pinterest fail, or the highlights from last night's game. And then soon without even realizing it, that sickness, that pit that we felt in the bottom of our stomachs, it leaves us. It didn't even have time to set in before we had forgotten about that young child. And one of the things that troubles me and should trouble all of us is the world today, at how easy it is for us to just, you know, kind of like do this, put the blinders on, right? We say in the submarine force, well, we just like put the blinders on, get in the tube. We forget about the rest of the world, right? We're not concerned about the pressing need of those around us. We become so focused on the I, we've forgotten about everything else unless it benefits us. I mean, there's even a phrase for that, right? We talk about this thing called the WIFM, right? The what's in it for me. And so before we get into the meat of the message today, I think it's important. I think it's important that we take a moment to just pray about that. And we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, to come and be here with us, Lord, that we invite you in this place, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have, that we may be sensitive to your prompting, Lord. May our eyes be open and our ears be open and our hearts willing to answer the call that you put in us. May we put the needs of others before the needs of ourselves. May we listen to your voice as we get prompted, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You know, I hate to start off so bleak this morning, but thankfully I have seen some tremendous acts of Christ's light shining through many of you here. You know, you never know the impact that one may have on another. And it makes me so proud to be a part of Seaport, because as I was the youth director, I saw the youth doing so many awesome things, right? And even this past week, I heard some instances, and I hate to brag on my daughter a little bit, but, you know, the other day we had the movie night, and my daughter, she was like driving, I don't know where she was going, somewhere, but she saw somebody on the side of the road that said that they had a sign that said, homeless, not helpless, and she like went over to him and just asked them what they wanted to eat, and then went over to they wanted KFC, she went into KFC, got it, and just brought it back to him. No reason, just to bless that person. You know, and I've seen that not just for my daughter, but a whole bunch of other people doing the same thing. And I mean, if that doesn't warm your heart, I don't know what will. When you see that selfless act of others, I mean, how beautiful is that? How beautiful is it when you see and you witness other people listening to the prompting and then obeying and watching how that blesses somebody? You know, and speaking of those who listened and obeyed, Isaiah, in the earliest recorded event in his life of prophecy, back around 724 BC, he saw a vision, right? He had a vision and he saw God, and he was overwhelmed by that contact with the divine. And he became so aware of God's need for a messenger that he became in agony for the people of Israel. And despite his own inadequacies, right, because I think that's the thing that stops us sometimes. We're like, I can't do that. I'm not made for that. But even in his inadequacy, he offered himself to God and he said, here am I. Send me. Send me. That is a dangerous thing to pray for. And just like that, he was commissioned to bring forth the divine word. He essentially gave a blank check to God. And that's how we should be thinking about our giving, whether it be service and time. How are we going to give that blank check to God? You know, all of us that are in the military or served in the military, at one point they always say, you signed a blank check to the United States government where you said, up and to, including my life. We don't get to choose where we go. They send us. There's no difference when we send and we say, God, here I am. Send me. You know, and this would be no light undertaking, right? This wasn't a trip to the local Wally World, right, to grab a soda. No, no, no. This guy, he was going to condemn his own people and watch a nation crumble and perish. And he tells it. He knows that it's coming. He knows that this is such a message that it's going to be difficult for people to hear. He knows that he's going to come up against bitter opposition. He knows that there will be willful disbelief. He knows this isn't just going to be a little bit of sprinkled ridicule. However, to withstand such trials, he would need that inner strength. He would need to be firmly rooted in the Lord. And all of this came, all of it came just through a vision. And because of that, it gave him this lifelong resolve that ended abruptly at the end. And if you haven't read through Isaiah in its entirety, you are truly, truly missing out, right? The language of prophecies, they are so beautifully vivid. And truly, truly, Isaiah, he was a master of language, a far-seeing prophet who recorded some remarkable prophecies that centered on the coming of the Messiah. In fact, the 53rd chapter, it tells us this clear picture of Christ that is often referred to as the fifth gospel, God's plan and work of the redemption, and it's central in his prophecy. And so, without further delay, if you guys would pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, whether that be a paper Bible or something electronic, we're going to be firmly rooted in Isaiah chapter 1 today. But before we get to it specifically, I'd like you just to get a little familiar with Isaiah, especially if you haven't read it, because Isaiah is considered to be like a mini Bible. And there are so many interesting similarities between the Bible as a whole and just the book of Isaiah. In fact, if you didn't know, there are 66 books in the Bible, and who would have thought? 66 chapters in Isaiah. Actually, they're all going to come up on the screen, a bunch of differences. Right? And the Bible has two halves, an Old Testament and a New Testament. Isaiah has two halves as well. The Old Testament is broken up into 39 books, and the first half of Isaiah has 39 chapters. And those of you that can math really well, better than I, know that there's 27 books in the New Testament, and there are also 27 chapters in the second part of Isaiah. In fact, in the first part of the second part, the first lines of the second part of Isaiah in chapter 40, the start of that second section, it talks about the ministry of John the Baptist. And if you remember, Adam talked about that a few weeks ago. And he was the forerunner of the Messiah, crying out into the wilderness, saying, prepare the way for the Lord. I think that's pretty awesome. And likewise, the New Testament starts out with John the Baptist crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. And then Isaiah closes out with the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, just as the New Testament ends in the Revelation and the new heavens and the new earth. These great prophecies of Isaiah, they capture not only the theme of the scriptures, but it's also the central focus of our Savior, Jesus. And as much as I'd like to say, hey, thanks for coming to my TED Talk today, I'm glad I gave you lots of information, but we really need to get into the meat of this. Why is this important to us? And the opening verse of the book gives a very brief introduction to the prophet. So again, we're in Isaiah 1:1. There are visions that Isaiah, son of Amos, not to be mistaken for the other prophet Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. You see, Isaiah, he was around for a while. And his ministry carried through the reign of four kings. And just to give you some additional context, remember earlier how I said it came to a sudden end? He actually was put to death in the reign of the son of Hezekiah, Manasseh, one of the most evil kings of Judah. And this was just before the southern kingdom was carried away into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, needless to say, Isaiah, he was living during some pretty tough times. Israel was surrounded by enemies, and they were crisscrossed by invading armies. It was a time of great threat and danger and desolation. You know, we talk about these things, and as difficult as it is for us to truly appreciate what a country at war would look like, I mean, how many here have seen what a war in the homeland looks like? Right? Our kids are not hiding in gutters because they're afraid of a firefight that's happening around the corner. When we go to sleep at night, we're not afraid that our house gets blown up. Right? These were the daily instances during Isaiah, right? And now we have this guy, this prophet, that during this time of great death and desolation, he has to deliver this message to these people, what the cause of their misery is. How'd you like to be that guy? You know, the Jewish people, they're often referred to as the chosen people, right? And it wasn't because they were richer or smarter. It's just because God chose them as a sample nation, a picture of how God deals with the nations on earth. And I'm sure that some of you would probably ask, like, why bother? I mean, who cares, Chris? This is ancient history about a people that lived thousands of years ago. What could this possibly have to do with me today? Well, even the Apostle Paul, he tells us that things happened to them as an example for us. They were written down to warn us. So perhaps, just perhaps, we should take note of these things. And you know, a lot of people don't like to start off reading in the Old Testament, but the more and the more that I read the Bible, the more I'm in the Old Testament, and the more I become fascinated with it, because the more that I see that the struggles that we face today, they're no different than the struggles that they faced then. And when we read it for ourselves, these pictures that we see, the problems that we face, why do we face those things? Because they're a human problem, right? These are human issues. Doesn't matter that they have different technologies than we have today. They're still human issues. Listen to what he says in chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 2. Listen, O heavens. Pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. I mean, we could take some lessons from our animals. Do they not love and appreciate us when we come home? I know as soon as I walk in the door, my dog is all over me. It doesn't matter if I left for 5 hours or 5 minutes. She loves me and wants to praise me as soon as I walk in the door. We could learn something from them. This summons by God to the heavens and the earth to listen to what he says. It shows a universal truth. It applies at all times and in all places. The problem is that the children, those that he lovingly took care of, those that he gave tremendous opportunities to, they just continued to rebel and do their own thing. They just continued to do their own thing because they knew better. They knew better. Does that sound familiar today? The problem is, and I'm sure most of you would agree, is that we're blind. God pinpoints that the most painful thing about their blindness is their lack of gratitude. Even the animals know better, he says. The ox knows his owner. The donkey knows his master. Animals are grateful for their loving care, but the children of men, are not. You know, and this highlights a big problem that Isaiah is confronting. Why is it that mankind is so blind? Why are we so blind to the goodness and the mercy of God? I mean, have you ever met that crotchety old person? I guess they don't have to be an old person, right? I've met plenty of crotchety kids. right? Doesn't really matter how old they are. But when you attempt to share the gospel with them, you get this, well, I've lived this long without God. I don't need him now. I mean, how crazy does that sound? Do we need air to breathe? Do we have the breath of God in our lungs? We were singing it earlier. I'm certain we didn't invent that. How about inventing food? Did God, not man, set that from the beginning? I mean, have you ever enjoyed a beautiful sunset and just thought, eh, whatever, it's cool? Right? My daughter, she drives down to the Thames River almost on a nightly basis just to see the sunset so she can take in the awe and the beauty of what God has created. Yet they still say, I've lived this long without God. Every breath we breathe is by the mercy of God. Everything comes from his providing hand, just like Jess had said. Yet we ignore that. Man ignores that. Man wants to hoard everything as it's something that they created without God's help. And our ability to be blinded by this, I mean, it's crazy. But if I'm sure all of you can think back, there was a time, at first I was blind, but then I could see. But that blindness, it is the problem that Isaiah is facing here. And God analyzes this situation in Israel in one verse. He indicts the nation. Here you'll see a parallel to our own times in verse 4 when he says, oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Let's take a closer look at this, because first God says Israel is a sinful nation. They've been infected with that fatal virus, that virus that has the big eye in it that causes everything they do to turn out wrong. The biblical point here isn't just that Israel has a problem, but that the human heart has a problem. It always wants to put the eye first. Yet, when we look around today, people find this hard to believe. They don't see this poison that is spreading. It spreads through all of humanity, and it causes even our efforts toward good to merely create new problems. The problem, you see, is that virus with the big eye. It's that sin problem. It's that selfish and self-centeredness that traps us all into thinking that we know best. We put ourselves at the top and make ourselves the idol. I mean, what is the common phrase that you hear today when you talk to people? They say, you got to look out for number one. Who's number one? You got to look out for number one. It's that very self-centeredness, that thing that has produced these me generations and other such movements. You know, and secondly, God says people are burdened. They're burdened because of this sin. The bondage that comes from such heavy burdens often are self-inflicted. And over time, we remove God from every aspect of our lives. You know, I think that one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us is our ability to think, to contemplate, and to wonder. Yet when we go down a path and we follow our own lead and not his, we continually see history repeating itself over and over and over through the Old Testament. You know, I wonder if we could figure out what our collective human wonder thinks today, right now. And so, you know, as I was preparing this message, I thought about it and I thought, I'm like, hey, you know what? What if I just simply Googled what is the greatest wonder in human history, just to see what would happen. A little experiment, right? And honestly, I was really disappointed. I was really disappointed because you know what didn't make the list? God. God didn't make the list. Jesus didn't make the list. The virgin birth didn't make the list. That is scary. I venture to say there is this strange conspiracy, some spiritual warfare going on out there that's prevalent in technology and politics and education to keep God on the fringes of life, never to mention his name or acknowledge his presence. Does that sound familiar? And then any effort to insert his name into some public thing meets with tremendous resistance. I bet you didn't know that if you took office today, or if you were a government employee or enlisted in the military or took the oath of office, that you don't even have to say, you don't even have to say, so help me God. It's a choice. Unfortunately, people have turned their backs on the living God. They've turned their back. Scratch that. They won't even acknowledge that in any part of their human affairs. And the ultimate result is that they're utterly estranged. They become alienated. Alienated from God, alienated from each other. We're segregated and separated. And then history, it just continually reaffirms that when you lose God, you lose man as well. You can only understand man when you understand where God is. For man is made in the image of God. And to lose the image of God, you lose the image of man. This is the problem with the world today. And as we continue in the first chapter, he just goes on to have this vivid description of what the consequences of this are. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. You are battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds, without any soothing ointments or bandages. Your country lies in ruins and your towns are burned. Foreigners plunder your fields before your eyes and destroy everything they see. Beautiful Jerusalem stands abandoned like a watchman's shelter in a vineyard, like a lean-to in a cucumber field after the harvest, like a helpless city under siege. But what happens? What happens? There is this persistent refusal to acknowledge God, and then the defenses are removed. The invaders, they start to take hold and start to take over. We start to get distracted. Our burdens, they become heavy, and they start to increase. Life as we know it becomes desolate and dreary. And often these trials that we face is God trying. He's just trying and trying and trying so desperately to reach us, to reunite with us, to reconnect with us, to save us from ourselves. You know, I think C.S. Lewis said it best when he said, "Pain is God's megaphone. He whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our work. But he shouts to us in our pain." He says, "Hey, knucklehead, what are you doing?" Many times we see that person who isn't paying attention. We see them. They're not paying attention to their wounds until God lays them on a bed of sickness and suffering. Will they listen then? I know you've heard me talk about it before. Some of us are very, very stubborn, right? And it takes for us to get that 2x4 across the face to see God, right? And this is what's happening to Judah right now. And what's Judah's reaction to this? What's their reaction? They know God is upset. But how do they try to redeem themselves from this? They do it by showing some outward, shallow religious performance. Listen to what he says in verse 13. "Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offering disgusts me. As for your celebrations of new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings." What good are empty religious exercises that do not involve the heart, where there is no change in life? You know, we talked about this on Wednesday when I spoke about addictions. You know, in the Navy, I had a guy that I used to work for. He would say, "Phillips, don't give me a turd that's got some powdered sugar on it and call it a brownie." And this is exactly what God is saying here. Don't polish up your outside when your inner self is full of vomit. It's the inner self that needs work. We cannot hide as much as we think we can. We cannot hide from him. God demands our total transparency. He wants not just some of us. He wants all of us. God is saying, if your heart isn't in it, if you don't mean what you say and say what you mean, then it's nauseating to me. Well, what then? What then does God want if religious rituals and well-planned services with great music don't do it? What is it that will satisfy him? Listen to what he says here in verse 16. He says, wash yourself and be clean. Wash the inner part of that cup. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Two steps. Get rid of the wrong and bring in the right. The sign of true faith is obedience. Obedience and service. Obedience and service. If these are not present, then we're only kidding ourselves. We're only trying to pass off a turd as a brownie. And he knows it. He can see right through your deepest motivations. They're a choice. It is a choice. But we don't have to stay in this vicious cycle. We don't have to keep just getting more stuff to get more stuff. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. But when we hear the command, wash yourself, stop sinning, look out for others, the question arises. I mean, I hear it all the time. How can evil people do good then if the heart is such a terrible thing? And that cry is answered in the next three verses. This theme, the theme of the book of Isaiah, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Though they are red as crimson, I will make them white as wool. If you will obey me, if you will obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. I mean, I don't think he could have put it any plainer than that. There is no help for man in and of himself, by himself. We cannot heal ourselves. We need more than just mere habits changed. We ourselves need to be changed on the inside. And that change can only come when you have a relationship with the living God. There is good news, though. The good news of the gospel, it looks forward to the coming of the Messiah and the shedding of his blood. He takes that place for us. He takes all of our sins, all of that burden, all of that guilt, and he puts it upon his Son. A free gift to anyone who will receive it, forever changing your heart. Now that selflessness, it won't go away all on its own, but it will be overcome by the gift of love. That gift, that free gift that the Father gives to his children. And if you're a Christian, you know, if you're not a Christian, maybe you've been attempting to clean up your life. Maybe you've been trying and it just doesn't seem to work. Maybe you're online today and you just don't know what to do. I don't think it's by accident that you're sitting here in this room today. I don't think it's by accident that you clicked on our page today. Maybe you're here to have your habits changed permanently, to have the love of Christ overwhelm you, to make those bad habits turn into love. The answer is in the beautiful good news that God, that he made a way for the human problems, that he made a way to change your heart. Because all you have to know is know that God deeply loves you. That's all you have to know. Understand that self-centeredness, that narcissism, that is the thing. Those are the things that separate you from God and God from you. All you have to do is believe that he sent his Son in your place. Turn from those ways and then invite him into your heart. It's that simple. And if you are a Christian, you got to press in. How do you honor God and gain life? It's by losing it. It's by surrendering daily to him. Don't just listen to the needs of others, but truly press in. Listen to what God wants you to do. Listen to where God wants to send you. Sign a blank check to God that says, here I am, send me. So that the others, that they can feel his love and are truly directed by the light that only he can provide, and that they can feel that love and that joy and that comfort of the Father as you being a lighthouse to them in your neighborhoods. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand with me? If I could have the band come back up. Don't just talk a good game. We have to clear out that inner cup. We have to praise God, just like our animals come to us with nothing else but just love and comfort. When we worship God, we want to worship him with full transparency, just to praise him, for nothing else than to just praise him. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you don't leave us to our own devices. Thank you that you made a way for us, Lord. That if we truly surrender, if we truly listen, then you will show yourself real in every single way. That all we have to do is listen and obey. May we seek and share every encounter with you to those around us, Lord. That we provide that joy and that comfort, that they can feel your love, that they can feel your comfort around them, Lord. As long as we just step in and aren't afraid to say yes, Lord. Lord, I pray that we all walk out of here today and we say yes. However you want to send us, Lord. Amen. Let's worship.
Surrender. I surrender.
know, the universal sign of surrender is this. It's putting your arms up saying, I surrender. When you go to war and people are surrendering, this is what you see. Groups of people walking like this. I surrender. I have no weapons. I'm taking the eye out of the fight. Are you going to do that today? Are you going to do that today? Can you put your eye away? Can you say, Lord, I surrender? It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. All you have to do is come to Him and say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. All you have to do is say, I can't do it, Lord. I need You. And He will deeply love you and cherish you. And I'm going to have the worship team or the prayer team come up. If you need prayer for anything, anything at all, if you're not sure what to do, you just know you need to surrender. Come up and get prayer. Maybe you got some ailment that's bothering you, some sickness, something. Come up and get prayer for it. Raise your hand and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it without You, Lord. Lord, I need Your help. Help me, Lord. Lord, I know today's message was tough. Lord, but we need to get the eye out of the way. Lord, help them to see that it is us, that it's us that causes us to be separated, Lord. And all we have to do is come back to You, Lord. All we have to do is turn to You, Lord, and You will be right there, waiting, waiting on us, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, the band's going to continue to pray softly. If you need prayer for any reason, come up. See one of these guys. Let them minister you to this morning. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this service, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be Your light, Lord. Lord, I pray that they go out of here this week and they shine Your light upon everyone they meet, Lord. Amen. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. Don't forget to pick up your kids. If you just want to stay and listen, the band will keep playing.